Now, of course, there's lots going on related to the oil and gas industry in this province and that money that's being spent in Ottawa and foreign overproduction, a dramatic drop in demand due to the global pandemic have all resulted in an oil and gas industry in crisis here. Well, not just in this province, but across the country and around the world. Yesterday, of course, politicians and industry leaders joined forces to help in dealing with the potential loss of about $61 billion to the provincial GDP between now and 2038. NOIA's CEO, Charlene Johnson, is live on the phone now this morning with us to discuss this. Good morning.
Good morning, Fred. How are you?
Well, not too bad. First of all, paint a picture for people out there who don't work in this industry, who don't live and breathe it every day, the magnitude of this problem.
It's very significant. There are thousands of people that have been laid off with expectations of more layoffs to come. There's a fear that companies may not be able to hire those people back. There's a fear that companies may not even exist at the end of all of this. We have lost at least over a dozen NOIA members in recent weeks, and we always do exit interviews when they're leaving, and they've told us they're closing their offices here. They don't foresee coming back. You have projects that are delayed, you have job sites that are idle, you have exploration that's deferred. Members are closing their offices, as I've said. So it's taking a major toll on people. I'm speaking to a lot of individuals. Even after the press conference yesterday, people wrote me and said it felt as if I was projecting their voice. It's taking a major toll on the people laid off and also on the people that are doing the layoffs, because these are mass layoffs. So this is, very serious today, but even more so in the future, because I think we're just scratching the surface. And that number that the premier released yesterday, over $60 billion, that means that it's not just an impact for the people who work in our industry. This is going to impact the entire province, because that is money that goes towards public services like education and healthcare and infrastructure for our town. So the impact, the long-lasting impact of this, we have not seen yet, but it's going to be complete devastation.
In terms of the companies that are closing, the people who are obviously being laid off as a result of this, I mean, would those companies qualify for the business loans that are being offered by the federal government now? And, CERB, I know $2,000 a month for somebody who works in the oil industry might not be, comparable to what they would normally make, but are they not getting anything at all, or is because of the industry they're in? Can you explain that for listeners? Because some may question that.
No, certainly they can avail of EI or the programs that are in place right now. Companies are availing of the wage subsidy as well, but many have told me that those wage subsidies are only good to them if there's a job for them to do. And in a lot of cases, there just isn't work right now with job sites shut down. In terms of the loans, the feedback that we've received from our membership is that they are not in a position to take on any more debt. They would probably do some in the short term if they saw some light at the end of the tunnel, if they saw a signal from this government and this prime minister, if they would show a signal that they support the oil and gas sector and the future of it. But without any signals like that, companies are not too keen to take on any additional debt right now. They're already overloaded.
Sorry, what could the federal government do then to help this this industry? I mean, obviously there are global pressures on this this situation. What's going on with Saudi Arabia and Russia? World oil prices. Obviously, this is why HMDC has decided not to do any drilling for a year and a half out at Hibernia, and other things have been shelved. What could the federal government do to ease this, aside from just signing a check?
The main two asks that we have, as well as the provincial government and CAP, is to provide incentives like other jurisdictions are doing, because we need to be globally competitive. So incentives for exploration, there has been $3.9 billion committed in the last number of years. There is a real potential that some of that will be lost. We've already seen delays this year. And incentives for development to get some of these projects back on the table that have been deferred or postponed. So the Terra Nova project, there's potential there. West White Rose, getting drilling back on, subsea tiebacks, Development incentives could certainly help with the Bay du Nord project. We even had numbers to show that a $300 million investment through a development incentive for a deep water project such as Bay du Nord would have significant returns in 4,400 annual jobs, $341 million in household spending, $2.3 billion in annual GDP boost. So these are things that we're not asking for something that has not been done before. And we've produced enormous amounts of evidence and data to show that this is an investment, as I said, not just in the tens of thousands of people that work directly or indirectly in our industry, but for all of the residents of our province and certainly for the country. So we're not asking for things that haven't been done before. This will provide a return, a development incentive to the tune of a maximum of $1 billion over 2 years can turn on the switch tomorrow for about $15 billion worth of projects that could get going here. So there's nowhere you can get a return on investment like that, especially right now.
And if that doesn't happen, what happens?
If that doesn't happen, we continue to be patient and persistent. We continue to lobby. There's absolutely no logical reason why this government is saying no to our asks. It's been done before. We've provided all of the evidence. We've shown that our oil is some of the most responsibly produced oil in the world. We've talked about how our oil can help with energy independence. You know, the Prime Minister himself talks about buying locally, especially now. Well, his government needs to follow the same mantra and support Canadian oil versus foreign oil. You know, it's virtually impossible to live our lives without fossil fuels. And I understand that that's some of the hesitation with some cabinet ministers is they're loath to support fossil fuels, but it's the foundation of the global economy. And, you know, for a government to make a decision to keep oil and gas in the ground and just give that production to other countries like Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, Iran, and others, it's just to their economic benefit and likely to the environment's loss, depending on where the crude is imported from, if it has a higher carbon footprint. So, you know, that only leaves us the option then to buy the product from foreign oil to support our daily needs. That's not supporting local. That's hurting our economy. It's hurting our environment. That's not leadership. So we have to continue to advocate, and, you know, we cannot stop. No is not an acceptable answer for our NOIA members, and it shouldn't be for the people of the province.